Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Kuftes, Menachas 109, pagination 217, starting from the fifth line, Masnis in the new Mishnah. Hare alai ola, if a person says, upon me is the obligation to bring a carbon ola, yakriveno b'mikdash, you have to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. V'mikriva b'veis chanyo lo yatsa, and if he brought it in the house of chanyo, he was not Yotze. As we will develop in today's session, Chanyo was slated, possibly, to be a Kohen Gadol, and it didn't work out, and he didn't like that. And he went and made his own house of worship, and that house of worship was known as Beis Chanyo. And a person in that generation might have been a bit confused. Maybe it's legitimate, maybe it's an opportunity, maybe it's possible. And therefore our Mishnah explores what are the ramifications regarding this Beis Chanyo, where generally they did things according to halacha, except for this massive problem that it wasn't the Beis HaMikdash. But generally they were scholarly people, they worked things through, and this was the problem that we dealt with, that it was totally an alternate looking opportunity to serve Hashem, but it wasn't valid. Similarly, Hare alai ola shakriveno beveis chanyo. Person makes a vow, literally, that it should be brought in Beis Chanyo, that I should be able to fulfill my obligation in Beis Chanyo, which was apparently more convenient. He was living in the same place as Beis Chanyo. Yakriveno b'mikdash, your obligation is to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. V'mikriva b'veis chanyo yatsa. One opinion says if he brought it in Beis Chanyo, he would fulfill his obligation. Doesn't mean he was right, but it's gone, it's done, it's over. He's not obligated to do more. Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zu ola. Rabbi Shimon says that's not an ola. Hareini nazir yigaleach b'mikdash. Person says, I'm a Nazir, so the shaving that occurs at the end of the Nazirus is going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. V'migilach b'Beis Chanyo lo yatsa. You do it in Beis Chanyo, nothing doing. Hareini Nazir sha'agalach b'Beis Chanyo, but if he said specifically, I'm a Nazir who's going to shave in Beis Chanyo, yigaleach b'Mikdash. You do it correctly, you're a Nazir. V'migilach b'veis chanyo yatsa. But if you did it in Beis Chanyo, you fulfilled your obligation in that you don't have any further obligation to be a Nazir. Rabbi Shimon Omer ein ze Nazir. Rabbi Shimon says you're not a Nazir. Now, the Tanakhama in these two cases is saying that if the vow was that I should do it in Beis Chanyo, somehow it works. It sounds like it works. How could you, what does Beis Chanyo, it looks like, it's not the Beis HaMikdash. It has nothing to do with Torah. So let's skip into the Gemara, about eight lines into the Gemara. Ella Amar Rava, Rava explained, Adam zeh ledoro niskavi. This person wants to make a vow of donation. He wants to be dedicated. Omar, what he is saying is as follows. An insight into what he's thinking. If it works to do it in Beis Chanyo, that amount of inconvenience I'm accepting upon myself. But if it's more than that, I'm not accepting the vow. That's what it means if he says an ola or to be a nazir and he wants to do it in Beis Chanyo. There was a doubt out there in this generation. They don't quite know what to make of Beis Chanyo. It's an alternate religious experience. Is it nothing fraudulent? Or is it something? It's like second best. And we find today as well, people have these notions about religion that they kind of recognize that there's an authentic traditional approach to religion. And then there's, well, I'm not quite sure if it's nothing, meaning it's like just made up by some people and it really has no validity as religious experience, or maybe it's a watered down version and somehow it's something. and the person is accepting upon himself, if it'll work on some level, that's what I'm accepting, but I'm not in a position to accept more. We encounter this with Geirus. People will convert according to a system of Judaism that maybe they're not even sure. Maybe it works. Maybe it's something. The fundamental attitude ought to be either it's Judaism or you can't really claim the authenticity of Judaism. What do I mean by that? The key to Judaism is that it's God's religion. It's that Hashem made a revelation at Sinai and revealed it to Moshe. If all we're doing is nostalgic stuff, eating matzah balls because my great-grandmother did, that's not a religious claim. A religious claim is that it comes from God. It's a legitimate way to connect to Him. And if a person does not recognize Torah Misinai, Torah is from Sinai, that revelation with Moshe, authorizing Moshe to be the conduit, the prophet, Av LaNeviim, as we say in Animamins, the father of all prophecy, if you don't have that, then there's confusion. But you can't have validity with the clout of Judaism unless you believe in Torah Misinai. Continuing in the next Mishnah on the third line. Hakohanim sheshimshu beveis chanyo. Yav kohanim, they served in beis chanyo. Lo yishamshu bamikdash birushalayim. They're no longer acceptable to be kohanim in the beis hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Ve'in serach lama ledavar acher, and certainly if a kohen worshipped idols, he's not going to be accepted to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. The pasuk says, "Ki im achlu matzos besochacheihem," they're allowed to eat from the karbanos. Such a person, he does tshuva, he comes, he now believes, wants to do it right. Hare'elu kevalei mumin, we consider them the equivalent of a blemished kohen. Cholkim va'ochlim, he can divide, he can eat the portions of the Kohanim, but we do not allow him to bring the carbon. Tosfos has an interesting discussion regarding a Kohen Shehemir Daso, a Kohen that went off the path. He perhaps even converted to a different religion, but totally non-observant, a mumar, whatever level that is. And Tosfos suggests possibly lo yisa eskapov, that in our time he wouldn't be allowed a duchen to say berchas kohanim, the blessing of the kohanim, v'lo yikur rishon, and he wouldn't get the first aliyah. Similar to the fact that if someone worshipped in the house of Chanyo, he no longer serves in the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos continues arguing with that and says our Mishnah invoked the model of Ba'alei Mumin. He's like a blemished Kohen. And we do not find that a blemished Kohen can't duchen, say Birchas Kohanim, can't get the first aliyah. Perhaps if he had a mum in his hand, so that people are going to look at his hands curiously during Birchas Kohanim, so that's not allowed. But generally, the concept of a mum does not forbid a person from duchening. And therefore, Tosfos suggests that perhaps there is no such restriction to be learned from Beis Chanyo, because the Kohanim of Beis Chanyo were like Ba'alei Mumin. And whatever the rule is by Ba'alei Mumin, that's what the rule would be by Mumar. In general, if the person has done tshuva, we handle it one way. If the person has not yet done tshuva, he's still doing something that's in violation, such as living with a woman that's forbidden to him, either by a kohen, a gerusha, or things that are forbidden even to a regular Jew, intermarriage. If he's still doing the forbidden thing, common practice is to say that such a person, because of Chilul Hashem, is not permitted to take the prestige which is due to a Kohen. On Amud Beis, we have the story, or actually two versions of the story, regarding how Beis Chanyo came to be. One approach is that these two brothers, Shimi and Chanyo, who are the children of Shimon HaTzadik, and Shimon HaTzadik recommended, endorsed Chanyo, the younger brother, to be the Kohen Gadol. So one version is that Chanyo was the one designated, and Shimi, the older brother, misled him and told him to wear very unusual garments on his inauguration day, a woman's leather blouse and sash, to discredit him. And Chanyo ended up running away. The second approach is that Shimi was the one who was endorsed. He was the one ready to become the Kohen Gadol, because Chanyo himself, even though he was recommended, didn't want to infringe on the older brother and therefore endorsed him. And Shimi got discredited through Chanyo's advice. But whichever way it plays out, obviously the vulnerable one got advice, which to him was something he would follow. He thought it was being told to him truthfully. And indeed, we find that things in the Beis HaMikdash, to the uninitiated, some people wouldn't know what's the difference between this garment and that garment. It all looks unusual. We have the cute story of a person who's watching the women take off their rings in the age when contact glasses weren't so in. They were wearing regular glasses, and he saw a number of women take their rings off and put them on the arm part of the glasses while they were washing for bread. And then after the bracha and the drying the hands, they would take them off and put the rings back on their fingers so that the washing should be without a chatzitza, without anything separating. So we have the story of the person who said, I don't have any rings. Can someone lend me their rings so that I can put them on my glasses while I wash? Because it all looks like observance. If you don't know the reasons for things, it's not hard to imagine someone uninitiated following the advice of their brother to wear these unusual clothes, and therefore this vulnerable situation occurring. According to either story, Chanyo had to flee, whether he was the advisor or the advised, but he had to flee. And that's the story of Beis Chanyo, where he couldn't handle it, and he built his own house of worship. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.